Check, check, check. There we go. I muted myself. So yeah, if you have children 3 years of age to fifth grade, they have classes available over in the East Wing. Feel free to take them over there, sign them into class, pick them up at the end of service, please. Take them to the circus, the other circus outside. And if you have children 0 to 2 years of age, the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore. If you want to take kids in there, feel free to do that. And as always, they're welcome to sit right here in service with us. So thank you very much. You guys doing good today? Anybody ready for summer? 2, 3, 4. All right. I'm enjoying the rain. I'm just still cool. It should snow soon, right? So a couple of announcements before we get rolling. The circus, of course, is set up over here. The campers and vehicles are all theirs, and they're kind of camping out. That's where they're living for a few days. So if we could give them their privacy, leave them alone. Don't pet the lions. Don't pet the tigers. Don't pet the ligers. Don't pet the horses or the dogs. They're all their personal animals, and that's their home right now. So please keep your kids out of the playground today, if you would, please. Keep them off the ponies grazing in the field. You know, just common sense stuff. If you don't want people invading your home, please don't invade theirs. And if you want to stay, it's a great show. Stay and enjoy the circus. Also, the porta potties did not show up that were supposed to for the event. So we are going to have our building open for them to use the restrooms inside. So I'm looking for possibly a couple of people that would want to host from like 1:30 to 7 o'clock tonight. In the foyer, just making sure we don't have kids running through the building, jumping off the balcony, swinging from the rafters. And just to keep the restrooms neat and tidy, keep toilet paper, hand towels, and that kind of stuff stocked and clean. So if you're interested in that and God's been saying, hey, what are you going to do with your afternoon? And this is what you want to do. Talk to me after church and we'll plug you in. If not, we'll figure it out. So thank you very much. And one more announcement. Is this getting crazy or what? Just, I guess, a public announcement, just so to get ahead of any rumors that might arise. Our executive pastors, Kelly and Kari Limeberry, are putting their house up for sale. They're going to be moving to Clarkston to help take care of Kelly's parents as they're in their last stages of life and to help with the church down there that Lois pastors. So if you see that come up, they're not leaving. We haven't kicked them out or run them out. There's nothing weird going on. They just feel it necessary to go take care of their aging parents and help the church down there in this process. So they're still here at the Life Center doing ministry and engaged with us. And, of course, still over the district as well. So just so everybody knows, that's what's really going on. You know how the rumor mill sometimes works. You ready to get into the Word? Yes. All right. I've titled today, Where in the Circus Are You? Life is kind of like a circus sometimes, isn't it? Amen. We had this beautiful spot back here in the back field, and we mowed it and got it ready for the circus and had it all staged so they could all be camped out here and have a little more privacy behind the building instead of right out front. And then God sent the rains, and then Noah built the ark. And oh, wait, that was a different story, But it got too wet to use what we had designed for them to have, and now their dumpster's way over here that they need way over there, and it's not like a four-man packet job. And so it's just like, have you ever had that happen in life? Yes. Like you made plans and it just didn't work out, and all of a sudden the unexpected happened, and you're just going, what is going on? Life can be a circus. Life can be an absolute circus, but where in the circus are you? Today, I'm the ringmaster, right? And you're all my clowns, or whatever you want to be. Think about it. Where in ministry, where in your spiritual life are you? What are you doing? We're going to jump into the Word and see what it talks about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about many pieces of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up at verse 12. Just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So where in that body are you? The body of Christ. It's us. We, the church, we're the body of Christ. We're alive, we're functioning, we're hopefully healthy and well, spiritually. But where in the body are you? The body has many, many working pieces. Have you ever had one part of your body not work? Yes. I've been struggling since the safe and sober senior fun night after graduation. Like, kids know how to get me. They, like, challenge me to races and stuff. And I'm dumb enough to oblige them. So there was this one race at senior fun night on these hopperoos, which our children's pastor supplied. They're like a big exercise ball, but they have this cute handle to hang on to. It makes you feel really secure. So you sit down on this ball about like this, and you have to hop the length of the basketball court, turn around and come back, and then relay to your partner. No problem, right? So halfway down the court, my ball pops out, and it's out here. So when I go to land, there's no cushion but my ankles. And this one's still hurting me. It's just a little dumb ankle. It was causing me to walk with a limp, which is causing my knee to hurt, which is causing my hip to hurt, which is causing my back to hurt, which I think is causing my head to hurt. I think all these bones are connected. But if one piece of our body in Christ, the church, is out of joint or suffering, the whole body is affected by it. That's why it's so important for us as individuals to make sure that we are spiritually healthy and well, so that we're not causing disunity or dysfunction or disorder in the body of Christ, because we are made up of many. That's one reason it's important to attend with a body of believers, so we can sharpen, strengthen, encourage, discipline if necessary, correct and instruct. That's why we come together as a church, hopefully to sharpen and improve our spiritual lives so that we remain healthy and are an asset to the body instead of rather a liability. So where are you in the circus? Are you an asset? Are you a liability? If you're a liability, you need to come together with a brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, I'm struggling. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm suicidal. I'm angry. I'm having an affair on my wife. I'm whatever, whatever. Bring it into the light as the word calls us to and make it right before God. Right? We repent, ask forgiveness, have a brother or sister that helps keep us accountable, and then we move forward in health and strength and we become an asset instead of a liability. We're here to strengthen and encourage one another. Our many parts are supposed to work together in unity to bring harmony and glory to God. Picking up at verse 15. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We're not supposed to compare ourselves to one another in a hierarchical standpoint of I came to church 3 times last month, so I'm better than Arby. He only came twice. We're not supposed to compare ourselves that way to one another, but we're supposed to be comfortable with who God's created us to be, what he's called us to, and am I doing that fully? We're supposed to compare ourselves against ourselves. Am I doing all that God has called me to do in this phase of life? Am I fulfilling what I was designed for? Only you can answer that. Of course, God can, obviously. Say, hey, God, what do you want me to be doing with this phase of my life? You know what I want to be doing right now? It's spring bear season. I want to be chasing bears around the woods. You know what God wants me to be doing right now? Ministering his word to his people. You know where I'm at today? Ministering his word to his people. But I have that clear in me. I know what he's called me to do. I also know what I want to do. I have to say no, and I have to say yes. There's that little war going on inside of us. It's called our flesh and our spirit. Our flesh wants to do fleshly things and please the flesh and bring gratification to the flesh. But our spirit wants to serve the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and say, yes, Lord, I'll be obedient. I know it's going to cost me, but I'll be obedient. I want to serve you, and I want to do your will because I want to bring you glory and honor. And I want to see my friends, my family, in heaven for eternity. And I can't do that sitting a bear bait. I can only save elk calves, deer fawns. Although I will be bear hunting this week, just don't get me wrong. God still allows us to do those fun things. We have to first do what he's called us to. Your will first, your way first. I've canceled a lot of hunting appointments for God appointments. It's his will first every time, except for when I'm disobedient. Then I have to repent and say sorry. So don't compare, but rather compliment. We're supposed to compliment one another. I look at people, we'll just talk about our pastoral staff here at the church. I look at each of us and we're all so different. There's not another one on our pastor staff like me, and that's awesome. I'm not trying to create clones. We all love Jesus passionately at the same level, but we all act and do ministry different and talk different and have different ways of looking at passages and scriptures and delivering messages. And it's beautiful because we complement one another. We don't compare. We don't say, well, who's better? Unless we're joking around. But we don't compare. We complement one another. And that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. Complementary to one another. We're supposed to build and encourage and strengthen one another as we come together. And that's fantastic you can do that because I don't have a clue what I'm doing. You know what I love? Electricians. I can build a house from concrete to finish, no problem. But what I don't like doing is, like, dead wires I don't mind, but live wires, I hate electricity. I'm almost scared of it. Like, I don't like it. Either dead wires, I can drill holes and pound staples and pull wires, but I love electricians to come and, like, do the final tick. You're now wired and live. I've been shocked a few times. It's not fun. I don't like it. But we're supposed to compliment each other. I could say, oh, I'm a terrible electrician. Well, I am. I don't understand it, don't know it. But I'm a great builder. And if I work with an electrician, we can make something happen. It's great. Verse 18 through 20. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. Every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We are one body in Christ Jesus. Around the world, around the globe, there's about 2 billion of us. About a third of the earth claims to be Christian and serve Christ Jesus as the Lord and Savior. That's pretty phenomenal. We get to gather here with a few hundred of us. But around the world today, serving the same God, are about 2 billion people. It's all one body. What are you doing to complement the body of Christ? We're all made unique. We're all made individual. We're all made with a purpose and design from God. that only you can fulfill your peace. I spent years of my life trying to fit a mold of other people, trying to become something I was not, to be like somebody that was great, or did ministry well, or taught great sermons, and I was just trying to do good with what I was given and just lacked in understanding. I wasn't trying to be a fraud or a fake, but I wasn't being true to who God created me to be. I was trying to replicate somebody else's mold, and it was not my own. We have to get comfortable with ourselves and do what God's called us to do. There's only one me, and I'm the only guy that can fulfill what I'm called to do. There's only one you, and you're the only person that can do what God's created and called you to do. Get in tune with His Spirit, seek it out, find what He's calling you to. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Don't be quick to discard. Just because it's not like you or of you or something you would do. Like, I love our ladies that run the books here at the church. I like to sit in the office and crunch numbers. That's not my go-to fun time. But we have ladies that love it and are excellent at it. And they keep us above reproach with the IRS and the government and the state and all the businesses in town that we owe money to. They pay on time. They keep our integrity above board. They're amazing. We have lights on today because they paid the power bill. If it was me, I'd probably forget until we showed up Sunday morning and like, why don't we have lights? I don't know. Everybody else does. They probably paid their bill. Okay, I'm not quite that bad. It's just not something I love doing. But each of us has a place to fill and be and do to bring strength to the body. So don't be quick to discard someone just because they don't do it your way. Because they have a whole ministry God's given them and a whole piece of the body to fulfill and strengthen and encourage that you're not equipped to do. 22 through 24. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. What are we supposed to do with the body? Give honor and respect to the other parts of the body that aren't like us. Give honor and respect. And then we honor God as a body as a whole. Right? Verse 25 through 26. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We need care and compassion in the body. If we're suffering, we should suffer together. This drives me nuts as a pastor. Absolutely drives me nuts. People fall into hardship or into sin and they're suffering and they pull out of church. They quit returning my calls. They quit answering my text messages. I'm just going through some stuff. I'll talk to you when it's all better. It's like, we're supposed to be here for one another. This is when we should lean in and strengthen and encourage one another. And instead, people want to run and dive in their rabbit hole and figure it out on their own. The Word of God tells us a man who isolates himself rages against all wisdom and brings destruction on himself. Don't isolate. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be here for, to go through the low times, the bad times, the hard times, and to celebrate and enjoy the high times as well. We're supposed to have a team around us that lifts us up and strengthens us when we can't carry our own weight. We're supposed to be there to encourage and empower one another. Don't run and hide when you hit, I don't care how bad it is. Jesus has already nailed it to the cross. Jesus has already paid for every sin you could commit. He's already said, my blood is enough, it is finished. But you have to come to me with it. Every hardship and every trouble, every trial, he's already paid for. And yeah, we have to walk through them. We have to get through them. And it's not always easy, but it's easier with friends and family around you. People to love on you, support you, encourage you, cry with you, sit with you, say absolutely nothing and just be there in your presence. Sometimes you need that, and that's what we're supposed to do as a body. Show care and compassion one to another. Verse 27. I love this verse. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God's telling me, he's telling you, as an individual, you belong to his body. Anything that falls short of that is a lie from the devil. Rebuke it, bind it, and kick it out. Don't believe it. You belong to the body of Christ. You have a place in the body of Christ. No matter how small, no matter how great. It only seems small to us. It's not small to God. It only seems great to us. It's all great to God. When you're fulfilling and being obedient in what he's called you to do, God sees greatness in obedience. Verse 28 through 30. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work in miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? These are gifts that God gives us. Do we have each and every one of them? No. Can we? Yes. And if you read the first part of chapter 12, there's another list of gifts that God gives unto us. Do you know that hospitality is a gift? Hospitality is a gift. I love great hospitality. It's fantastic. You walk in the door and they give you a beverage and a cookie or a cup of coffee and a donut or maybe some meat, cheese, and cracker tray. Or it's like, woo, I've arrived. And they were waiting for me. There are many gifts. We don't have time to get into all those today. But there are many different gifts. It's not just preaching the word from up front. The apostles, one who God's word is given to, and they are to go and tell it. The prophets, one who hears directly from God and delivers God's word to his people. And the teacher, one who instructs in the ways of the Lord. All of those are attainable for all of us, each one. And verse 31, I love this part too. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. It doesn't tell us that there's a limit to how many of each people get each gift. Like, oh, quota's full, season's over. No, it says now eagerly desire the greater gift, which means I can chase after it and ask it of God. God, will you give me more? What do you want? Careful what you pray for. Compassion. And I promise you from experience, if you pray for more compassion, God will give it to you. But you will have to encounter situations that require you to be compassionate or you to receive compassion yourself so you can experience what that feels like. And I've been through some crazy times in my life. I'm like, God, what are you doing? And then it gets over, and looking back, it's like, oh, I got exactly what I asked for. It just didn't come wrapped with a package and a pretty bow and a nice note card that says, "From God, I love you." Some of the most horrible circumstances of my life brought into my life gifts that I had been asking God for, that now I get to use and express. But to fully use and express them, you have to walk through them and experience them so you know really what you're doing. So I encourage you, desire eagerly the greater gifts that God has available for you. Ask Him. His word tells us to ask and it will be given. He gives and He gives, but we can ask and desire it. Matthew. So what are your current gifts? What gifts do you currently have and possess that you're currently functioning, operating in? What gifts are inside of you lying dormant that you haven't expressed yet, you haven't let come out? What are you doing with the gifts you currently have? Gifts can be trained, they can be developed, they can be acquired, they can be sharpened. You're looking at a guy that would take a zero in speech class so he wouldn't have to get up in front of the class and talk. This did not come naturally. After about 18 years, it started being not quite so scary. And now I'm mostly comfortable here, but when I go somewhere else and speak, it's like I got to get out the butterfly net again. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's comfortable. It means, God, you've given me a gift, and now I'm going to use it for your kingdom, for your glory. So what does this look like in practicality? Now, here's my last question before we jump to that. What gifts are you seeking for? Like, there's no limit. If you keep asking and keep using wisely according to God's word, and He's pleased with you, He's going to keep extending gifts to you to use for His kingdom and His glory. So what are you seeking for? What are you asking God for? I'm asking God for patience, and that scares me to death. Because, like, to have patience, you got to learn patience. And it's like, I think I want it, God. No, I want patience. More patience than I currently have. I want to be comfortable in the waiting. I want to be comfortable seeking while I'm waiting. And just saying, God, you got this. I don't need to go full steam ahead because you got this. So Matthew 28, the Great Commission. I love this. Matthew 28, verses 28 or 18 through 20. Well, Jesus has just risen from the dead, walked about for 40 days, getting ready to ascend back to heaven. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So three pieces in there. We've got to go. Go make disciples. What are we doing to be part of that? Go make disciples or followers of Christ, presenting His word and the truth of His love and salvation. He's called us all to do that. That's why I love our mission teams that go out into all the world. Some of us are giving to those, and some of us are going and doing the physical work. And I love it. So every second Sunday of the month, we focus on missions. We want to highlight missions, have a little longer presentation about missions, because we believe that's part of the Great Commission that God has called us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. It's awesome. So we felt like we needed to bring more attention to that. So that's what we're doing these days. And we have teams going out, And it's amazing. The second part of that is baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptizing them. We're supposed to be baptizing them, inviting them into the family of Jesus. First, it's a heart confession condition. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And then the public statement of, I want to declare to the world, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be baptized in obedience to the Word of God. And the third part, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching and instructing the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to be about, the Father's business. I love the last part of that, and I will be with you always. He promises never to leave us. He'll be with us always throughout all of our ministry that we go forth and do for Him. So I asked this question, if my helper would come. My beautiful daughter, I'll try not to embarrass you. She's seeking a microphone. There she goes. So where in the circus are you? I need a couple volunteers to answer that real quick. She'll bring the microphone to you. That'll be the handheld that Jeff and Crystal were on for the sound booth. Anybody? Where? It has to be quick. Like, where in the circus are you? Linda. You can't have time to think about this. This has got to be like off your brain.
Well, I'm one of the bookkeepers that Arby was talking about. I used to teach math, and so numbers are one of my fortes, and I feel like the Lord is using me in the ministry through that.
Amen. Out back, Aunt Jewel.
Well, I was the lion tamer. For 40 years, I worked at the school, and that was my ministry.
Woo! The lion tamer. Yes. John Swan, right here.
I currently am the adult teacher here at the Life Center, and we are teaching on unceasing prayer. So if any of you think you need more biblical knowledge, come to the adult class here at the Life Center, 9:15 in the back room by the pastor's office. But that's what God has called me to do, and that's what I'm doing.
Yes, thank you, John. Go Vicky, and then we'll go Elisha in the back, and then we'll conclude.
I'm in hospitality and helping.
Yes, awesome.
I'm the monkey's playground.
So you can continue thinking on that throughout the day if you want to. But where has God called you? What have you been called? I have a couple of answers written down. I quizzed my family about this at home, not telling them what I was doing with it. So I just wanted to see what came to their mind right off the bat. And so my youngest daughter asked my wife, where in the circus are you? And she said, next to you. Meaning sitting by her daughter at the circus, a spectator, enjoying life together, which none of these are bad answers. None of these are wrong places, right? So next to you, that's where I'm at in the circus. Just enjoying time as a family. My son, Ridge, where in the circus are you? I don't know. It's a valid answer. I don't know. Sometimes we're going through life and we get into places where we're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how I got here. What's going on? Right? Anybody? Come on. There's got to be two other people at least that have been there in life. I've been there more than once. God, what am I doing? God, am I hearing your voice? Am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I still on track? Because, like, the only constant in my life that I've ever noticed is change. Like, life is constantly changing. Like, everything else is not constant. It's change. It's always changing. Are you ready to move and flow with the Spirit of God? Because the Spirit of God is alive and living and fresh and moving day by day. And to us, it's changing. To God, it's been the same from beginning to end, and He's had this master plan worked out, and we get to be a part of it. Thank you, Jesus. But for us, it's like always changing, and a lot of us, if we're not careful, we look and go, well, God, you changed. You did this different, or you're not who you said you were, and really what happened is my perception changed. Whether it's a traumatic experience that skewed my view of who God really is, whether it's something amazing and phenomenal that skewed my view of who God really is and didn't give Him credit for it. But it's this guy who changes. He's constant. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is constant. Who I believe He is, who I know He is, who I experience He is always changing. And I'm just learning and knowing a little bit more of who God is. So once we get that figured out, it's like, okay, I'm cool with change, God. Like, I knew you yesterday, but I want to experience you new today. Because God is so much more than we can fathom or imagine or think. Seek Him, find Him, serve Him. He will blow your mind day after day, year after year, if you keep pressing in. My middle daughter, Selway. Selway, where are you in the circus? I'm watching. Oh, wait, wait, wait. I'm the lion tamer. Oh, wait, wait, wait. I'm the ringmaster. Have you ever been indecisive in life? Like you just don't know what you're doing. It all looks like so much fun. And wait, what's better than watching? Lion tamer. What's better than lion tamer? Ringmaster. You get to conduct the whole show. Where are you at in your spiritual life? We heard of a lion tamer. Been taming school children for 40 years. Educators have it tough. Pray for our educators. They need your prayers now like never before. Pray, pray, pray for educators. And I didn't answer this. I probably should have, but I didn't. Last but not least, I asked my young daughter, Brielle, where are you in the circus? I could be the person cleaning up animal poop. She could have a pastoral anointing on her life. We get to clean up a lot of messes. I mean, really? Which I love that answer. Because it was completely out of humility and humbleness. Like, I don't need to be a star of the show. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll be the animal poop scooper. Just pray they don't have elephants at the circus. Horses and tigers is one thing, man. Elephants? Like, wheelbarrows aren't big enough. But where are you in the circus of life? Because wherever we find ourselves, if we're doing what God has called us to do, being faithful and obedient to it, we should find contentment therein. Like, I don't care if I'm the one cleaning up animal poop. It's what God's called me to do. And I don't care if I'm the ringmaster. I'm not going to get proud and let pride get the best of me and say, oh, look at me. I've arrived. I'm just going to be content knowing that I'm being obedient to the calling of God in my life. Each and every one of us plays a vital part in the body of Christ. Where are you? What has God called you to? And what are you asking Him for? How are you be obedient and fulfilling what He's called you to? Those are some take-home questions to think about as you go. So where in the circus are you? I remember at our eighth grade graduation, one of our mothers of the class wrote these eighth grade prophecies. So for each of the students of the class wrote this prophecy. And I remember mine very clearly. She said, one day you will have a roadside comedy show and or circus. This is fulfillment right here. This is the comedy show, and there's the circus. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? God's fantastic. And she has no idea what she was even saying. I won't say how many years ago. It's been a while. But where are you at in the circus? Lean in to God's calling on your life. What are you asking me to do in this phase of my life? What are you asking me to do for your kingdom, for your purpose? What are you asking me to level up in, to go to the next measure, to give a little more? What are you asking of me, God? And then be content with where he places you. If you're the guy scooping the animal poop, be content. If you're the guy swinging from the trapeze, be content and hope there's a safety net. If you're the guy walking the tight wire, trying to keep things in balance, be content. If you're the clown in the arena just trying to make people smile and laugh, be content. If you're at the front counter taking tickets, be content. What's God called you to do in his kingdom? Who can you reach out to? Who can you speak life to? Who can you love on to make life better? We, as God's people, are blessed to be a blessing to those around us. And I love how generous our body is here, how much we bless the globe. We have missions we support all over the globe, and I love it. There are orphans and widows today. They're out of prostitution, getting educated in school systems today because of your generosity. Hundreds around the globe are being blessed because you're blessed. So thank you for your generosity, your giving. I love you guys. I serve the greatest church in the world. You guys are awesome. I'm going to invite the prayer team up. If you have any prayer needs today, you say, you know what, I haven't been fulfilling my potential. Do you want to play, dear? Would that be okay? Kathleen will be on the mic. Jeff was on just for the sound booth. So we love prayer. The Word of God tells us to agree with one another in prayer, lay hands on, pray for the sick. So if you need prayer today, say, man, I just haven't been living up to my full potential of who God's called me to be. He said, I just want somebody to agree with me in prayer, somebody to hold me accountable. Say, on this day, I said no more. I've had that day in my life. I wasn't fulfilling who God called me to be. I wasn't rising to my potential. I was falling short of God's call on my life. And maybe you just have life happening, circumstance, situation. You say, man, I just need some prayer. I'm struggling. I need some encouragement. I need some love. I need some support. Maybe you have some other need that I haven't even mentioned. I say, man, I don't know what my next steps in life are. I'm just feeling directionless, feeling lost. Come forward and get prayer. Come agree in prayer one to another. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we just thank you, Lord God, that you have such a great, God, sense of humor, that you love us so much. God, that you care for us so well. God, we just ask that for each and every one of us, God, that you would give us clarity and vision, God, clarity and direction, God, in who you've called us to be, of what you've called us to. God, that we would find contentment, God, knowing that we are serving you 100% obediently in every step of the way. God, just give us contentment, stillness in our hearts. God, that we would have your peace. God, that we would go forth and make the world a better place wherever you would send us. God, that we would walk in your blessing to be a blessing to those around us. Father, we thank you for this. We ask your grace, your mercy. We ask your protection on all the performers today at the circus. God, that you would keep them safe. God, that you would give them strength and agility to perform their acts without flaw. God, that they would be safe and protected as they travel, God, throughout the summer to all of their events. Father, we thank you. We ask your blessing as we go today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come forward and get prayer. You're welcome to sit and worship. Have a great week.
Except for a heart singing.